Hi, this is Kia Zogernin of Positivity Plus. I'm very happy to announce one of my new guests that's on my new podcast. It's one of my oldest players that I've had the pleasure of training, and he's on a new path. And I'm going to let him tell you about his journey and his path to success and tell you a little bit about him. His name is Kota Umeda. I've had the pleasure of coaching him since he was about 12, 13 years old. And I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about his story and his background. So, Kota, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me, first and foremost. I was born in Tokyo, Japan, and then my family moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico when I was 4 months old. And then when I was 3 years old, we moved back to Tokyo. And then when I was seven, my family and I moved to Cleveland, Ohio. And so my family moved a lot growing up, but the only thing, you know, I had to rely on was soccer. And soccer helped me get the best out of me in every aspect of life. And I met Kia when I was 10 years old at a soccer camp. And from the very start, he saw something in me, and it was like he watered the plant and he helped me grow to be a person.
If I remember correctly, I do remember seeing you right. You're 9 or 10, and you used to come to camps. You didn't really coach you till you were 15, but you came about 4 or 5 years in a row to our camps in the summer, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. So tell me a little bit about, it was right about before high school. I remember that you were really serious about playing college, and, you know, back then I had a lot of, you know, top level players and stuff. And you came to me and you were interested in playing in college, right? So why don't you tell us about that? How that worked?
When I was about a freshman, I played varsity and I got every accolade that a high school player could possibly get. And I went to Kia because I wanted to go to Division I, and I thought that was the path that I had to take. And, you know, he made me realize that the path I was on wasn't the right path. And he definitely gave me a push, and he helped me get up back on the right path, which was I needed more individual training. I needed more exposure to college coaches. And I needed to be in an environment that was much better than what high school had to offer me. And so from an individual standpoint, we went one-on-one training almost every day, and I took a completely different path, and I'm so grateful for it.
Right. So I remember it like it was yesterday. So can you, I don't want to, it's not about this again, this show's not about me. It's not about promoting what we do. It's Positivity Plus. Okay. And I'm using a lot of my ex players and stuff because look, in my job, you know, I get to help children, achieve their goals. You know, that's the part I think I can give back to the game. And you're also one of those players that, you know, I don't know who sends my way. God puts it my way. But if anyone does, I always say, okay, well, how can we help them? And I remember you very clearly that in the beginning, I thought you were surrounded by fear. Number one, you were probably the best player in this town and you didn't know it. Is that correct?
Right. Absolutely.
So, and I, and when we get together with players, and it takes me a time to get to know them, get to find out, you know, what they do. And can you tell some of the kids, like some of the stuff we did, right? Remember journaling?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Okay. You remember from the first day I've asked you to journal and we were writing journals. And one of the things I do, you know, you need to ask players, you know, what's your goals? Remember me asking you what your goals were? And I wanted you to write down a list. Do you remember I asked you to list 25 colleges and to tell me why you wanted to go there? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so you made the list. And who was on top of your list?
University of Louisville.
And did you have any idea that, you know, the head coach happens to be my best friend and my old teammate, Ken Lola? You had no idea.
No, I didn't. At that time, I didn't.
No, exactly. And that, to me, it's like, this is how the Lord works. You know, when I saw your list, I was like, oh, well, that's easy. That's right on top of your list. So, look, from the time I met you, I knew you had the tools, technically. I thought technically, tactically, and you know, if you can tell people what's one area that we worked a lot. I mean, we work on technique, tactic, physical constantly, but I think the area me and you have worked the most is your mental aspect.
Absolutely. That's where I grew the most.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were always gifted soccer wise. You always, you know, if you see Coda guys and, you know, where are, if you tell our listeners, where are you right now in this path?
I'm currently playing in Portugal.
So I'm going to talk a little quick about your history and then I'm going to want you to kind of explain it. Okay. Because to me, this is a lot of players go through this and I, and if anything about American, you know, soccer system, everything works, you know, it's this, you know, so yes, I helped Coda get ready for the University of Louisville. I helped them, you know, he played developmental academy, which all the top level kids play for 2-3 years. You know, he played a developmental academy and that's the best platform to get him ready. Then he went to Louisville. He was there 2 years, correct?
Yes, 2 years.
Exactly 2 years. You didn't find it what you wanted and you wanted to transfer. And he transferred to a bigger school, Akron. You know, he comes to Akron. And he transferred back home and he was back here going to Akron. And again, you know, I didn't think, and this happens to you. It's happened to a bunch of players of mine and coaches that I've coached with, you know, the American system, you know, that you're not, you weren't, were you, you weren't used as much as you should be probably in your college, were you?
Right. Absolutely.
So it, you know, college soccer, what people don't understand, it's a different game. It's a different mentality. And, you know, I wouldn't say Coda was a starter. It was the highest, best player on his team. And, you know, same with Prayag. You know, Prayag went to Bowling Green, and he was the captain of his team, and he hardly played because he wanted a physical guy, and they wanted guys to bash him. You know, he didn't play at all much. And then 3 months after he graduates college where he wasn't playing, he signs in Spain. Same as you, you know.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like my own path when 3 months before I turned pro, I got cut by ODP coach. You know, I was told I was too small to play soccer, but we keep going. So right. I knew that. I knew you were legit the day I met you. You know, I knew you were legit and I knew that Lord has a plan for you. And my Lord, my job was to get you ready, you know, and just, you know, to me was get you to stop dealing from fear, you know, and I seen it. I've seen you mature. So tell us a little bit about what happened after college.
So I actually got a call up from a team in São Paulo, Brazil. They're called Joinville, and it was a third division team. And I talked with my family and everything, and my coach at Akron at that time told me it was a great idea too. So I went. And it was a 6-week trial, and they ended up loving me and loving my style. And so that's something you said, you know, soccer in the United States is a little different how it's played overseas. And the way they play kind of fit my style, creativity, technical. And so I was able to get a professional contract there. And then after 1 year there, I was signed by a team in Portugal. So I'm there now. So, yeah.
It's what town are you at? What town is your –
I'm in Porto.
Porto. So, and tell us a little bit about how life is over there than here.
Right. Like life as in, isn't in soccer or life overall?
Overall. Just, I mean, it's not easy. A kid from Japan going to America. And you're dual citizen, correct? You
have
citizenship, American citizenship, and you have Japanese Spanish, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us how it was to going over there.
Right, like you said, I've had the opportunity to live in so many countries, but it's really different in so many aspects, from food to culture. The way the city's built is so different. The way the houses are set up is so different. Everything's so compact. Everything's so neat. You know, people are so well fashioned, and everything just so, I guess, so much nicer in terms of looks. in
your how much space do we waste in the United States compared to the rest of the world?
We do. That's what I noticed as well, because I've lived in Tokyo and too, and when I come back to the United States, I just see so much space, and it's crazy. Unused space.
Yeah, unused space. I would say our poor housing, our lower income housing, the mm-hmm. space that they have is more than what affluent people have in over there.
Absolutely.
You know, the houses there are so small. Yeah. Okay, so as far as soccer goes, so tell me, were you prepared when you went over there? Was it hard for you to adjust? What do you think?
Like you said, I when I first trained with you, I was mentally weak, and the way you prepared me kind of set me up to be successful there. Mentally, I was honestly one of the toughest guys there, I think. I think you have to be, especially when you're a foreigner on the team. You have to be one of the toughest guys. And so I was really proud of myself in that aspect. And I was prepared physically, obviously, the way you always set me up. So,
well, look, I told you that a long time ago. I said, look, I'm going to do my best to get you ready for the next level. I'll help you knock on doors. I've been around for a long time. I can help knock on doors. But ultimately, you know, you got to do it, right? You got to come through and you got to perform. And, you know, life is about connections, and those connections can get you on, you know, an opportunity. But ultimately, if you couldn't play, if you didn't have the tools, you wouldn't be where you are. So you've learned that. You're doing it yourself. I see it. So tell me, I also know you're a new author. So tell me about your new book.
Right. Outside of sports, I've always dreamed of helping as many people as I can, I think. And so I had a lot of time outside of just training. So I've always wanted to write a book. And I wrote a book about motivation and inspiration to help as many people as I can. And the money that I made, I've decided to donate all of it to United Way of Cleveland, to support racism and poverty there. So that's something I've always dreamed of doing. I'm really happy for that too.
Well, that's awesome. What's the name of your book?
I'm With You.
I'm With You. Okay, awesome. Can't wait to read it. You see what's behind me? all my books. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up real quick, but what can you tell the up-and-coming player that's going through high school, who has dreams? I mean, think about it. You're a kid from Japan that comes to Ohio, Cleveland. Now you're playing you went to play in Brazil and then in Portugal. You know, how does that happen? What advice can you tell? What would you say is the most important thing in your youth when you're growing up, if you have a dream to play?
I think one of the most important lesson is to never give up. And as cliche or as simple as that sounds, it's actually so difficult to maintain that focus. You know, there's so many, soccer is full of ups and downs, and there's so many times you want to kind of give up or take your foot off the gas and maybe make a wrong decision, you know, whether maybe a small decision like going to party or doing wrong things with your friends. But that's when you gotta have the mentality of never giving up. And I think that's what helped me the most. Even through the darkest times, I just kept the mentality to never give up, because I know as long as you don't give up, you keep your dream alive. And all you need is that chance, just one chance, one person to believe in you, and you can make all that dream, all that hard work worth it, you know? So right. I definitely tell them to keep that mentality to never give up.
Right. Well, yeah, you need fans. You need people to lean on. You need people to believe in you. I get it. And look, I was just talking about this, you know, RC, right? We know RC, right? RC's came right after you, right? And he's on the same right path as you. He was younger, RC Schmieder, you know, and now he's at Louisville. I'm going to use him right now. He just reported to Louisville. And just like you were one of my top guys and one of my top guys, I've always told you guys, you know, if you're going to be like everybody else, remember that? If you're going to be like everybody else, you're not going to be a top guy. Right. So you said, you know, you're going to parties and stuff. You know, as long as I've known you, you're not a partier. You're not a right kid that went and, you know, because that, and that's one of the main reasons I believe in you, because if you are just like everybody else, which they all go drinking, partying, smoking, whatever, you know, right, how are you going to be a pro if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you know? So RC goes to Louisville. They had to report Friday. It's his freshman year. Now, he was already there last year. He graduated in January. So because of the COVID, he came back. They told him to stay here and train because the training here was really good. They told him not to go. So last Friday, you know, he reported with seven other freshmen. So there's eight of them in their class, right? So seven of them go to party. First night on college campus, you know, and things. Anyways, they go out. And yesterday, all seven of them tested positive for COVID. So, yeah, they did. And not only, I mean, they went out partying and drinking. I mean, they also got COVID on top of it. So they moved RC out. RC is the only freshman that didn't get COVID. And he doesn't go out. And, yeah, and I, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a type to say, hey, you got to be a saint, but you have to be different, right?
Right.
If you do what everybody else does, you're going to end up just like everybody else.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. If you want to be at the top, you have to be different. So in that, I've always been proud of you. I know I cannot tell you how proud I am or how, you know, how far you've come, and you're still in the beginning. I see you playing in the J League. That's my dream. It is. I actually, you know, and I never told you this. I never told you this, but I always had this vision of you playing for a national team. I did. You know, I thought that would be the ultimate, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's not far off. You know, I think you're on it. You're playing in Europe. You have dual citizenship. I mean, if US or Japan, one of them don't ask you, they don't know what they're missing. So I want to thank you. By the way, Koto's home. Koto came home to get some surgery and some stuff done in his off season. And how long are you home?
I go back next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Well, I hope to see you before you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a signed copy of your book.
Absolutely. For sure.
All right. Well, I really want to thank you to my listeners too. And it's our new podcast. Hopefully you know, tell everyone about Positivity Plus. I love you, brother.
Thank you so much. I love you too, coach.
Okay.